go through the process this evening. I'd like to go around the table and ask everybody to introduce themselves. So we'll know who's here.
Ben Sartori with the planning commission.
Colette Martin.
Carrie Crowe.
We have Shelley Walsh.
Michael Brooker, the council.
Thank you, Walker, city manager.
Avery, we're going to be director of community development.
Dan Gardner, principal of policy and lead assistants.
Siri Moran, planning commission committee member.
Very good. Thank you all. And we'd like to welcome our guests tonight. The purpose of this meeting comes from the Drum Beans Plan Committee spending a number of months with staff brainstorming about what we thought we might like to see in terms of a framework for developing the next comprehensive plan for University City. And we evaluated along with staff a number of proposals from very distinguished planning and communications firms. And Halcyon Levine and Ed Dimension and their partner A5 rose to the top. So what we like to do, we evaluated the scope of work that the integrated teams provided. And from our perspective, what we'd like to do is to make sure we walk through the plan, make sure that we're all comfortable with the direction they're going in, and that it meets some all standards that everybody are on the table. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Andrea.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Locke indicated, what we're here tonight is to ensure that the proposed scope of work by the consultants best meets our expectations. So your expectations, Plan Commission's expectations, and what's going to get in the end of the best product for our community. In their proposal, as Ms. Locke indicated, Halcyon Levine, HLA as we refer to them, put together a proposed schedule and scope of work, which Mr. Gardner will go through in a little bit of detail in a few minutes. And building in the services of Marianne Taylor Crane and Added Dimensions, which we'll discuss a little bit as well, we want to, again, make sure that this process meets everyone's expectations and want to hear your feedback this evening. The goal is to take that feedback, perhaps revise the scope of work, and then prior to presenting a contract for the city manager to execute, get all of this refined, and then go from there with initiating the process, hopefully in January or February of this year. So with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Gardner and Ms. Marianne Taylor Crane.
I'll stand up. Stop me at any point if you want. So what I wanted to do is kind of run. Okay. Is this for recording or for communication? I wanted to run through the scope of work. And if you have questions, stop me, or if there's anything that's not clear, but we'll also be answering questions when we're completed here. The scope of work, as you see, it's projected through, and I'm just going to focus on the timeline. I think everybody has a copy of the scope where it's at. The scope of work, the preliminary scope of the combined two elements. But it's a 18 to 24 month process. What's spelled out here is about an 18 month process. There's a lot of flexibility in the process like this. We have a scope to guide the process, but throughout the time frame, if things develop in any process, things will morph and things can change. We're very flexible in recognizing that. So even though we may have a prescribed scope of work, there are things that we can address as they come up throughout the process. What we call CPAC here, but that's the advisory committee. The first meeting with the committee and the recruitment and just talking about the things and things that are going to impact the study, kind of laying the groundwork and making sure that we're all on the same page as we go through it. Then there's a project initiation workshop that's kind of working to make sure that the next steps are all spelled out and the meeting schedules are there. We go into step two, which is the branding and the marketing and multimedia outreach. Well, this is such an important part of this process, and we recognize that comprehensive plans, and we do comprehensive plans all over the country, but comprehensive plans are statutory requirements by the state of what needs to go into the comprehensive plan. And those elements are there in the plan And there are pieces that go into any plan, and those are the things that you'll use for grant applications and things to guide policy decisions and regulatory issues going forward. But it's so important that this planning process isn't our plan. It's not even the city officials' plan. It's the vision. It's the community plan. And in order to do that, you have to make sure that that outreach hits every person in the community or every group or interest in the community, and everybody has an opportunity to participate. So that's why when we went through this process, we felt that it was so important in working with staff to combine those elements and make sure that the outreach is hit to the point that everyone, by the time this is over, has had an opportunity. And Marianne and her group, and with us initiating it, and with A5 doing all the branding and promotion, we have a very comprehensive process of outreach that also complements the comprehensive plan itself. So when you see branding the plan, and 2A and 2B, I'll hit on these collectively. So promoting the new University City, this isn't to say that University City is being redefined. It's more about branding the process. And we've started doing this more often in planning processes we're doing, and Flint, Michigan is a good example. It wasn't, here's the new Flint. It was called Imagine Flint for the process. And that was getting people excited about participating in the process. And that was a very extensive outreach process. We had a meeting on a Saturday afternoon at Mott College. A four-hour meeting, that 600 people show up. That type of enthusiasm is something that you want to see, and nobody wanted to leave. So once you get that enthusiasm going, both through traditional outreach, and we'll talk about that, and the online outreach and the technology and getting people engaged in different elements, some people don't want to participate online. Some people only want to participate online. But you have to be able to be responsive to both sides of the community. So we brand the process of getting people excited. There's also, at the end, we can talk about how do you promote the plan now that it's done and take advantage of all the outreach that's been conducted. Email template for getting the word out, an invitation and poster system, just working with the stores or working with the community and working with the, whether it's the faith-based organizations or neighborhood organizations or people just to promote it in the schools and the parks and the different locations where you can get the word out about the process. Media outreach, we work closely and collectively. We will work with the media organizations to make sure that notices are out there for meetings and that people are aware of what's going on. The press releases, newspaper articles will help facilitate those. Community workshop, this is identified in issues and opportunities. Before anything starts on the planning side, you know, there are certain things that we will be doing in terms of field work and collecting data. But we always start those first meetings of saying, we're not here to present anything. We're not here to tell you about what the plan should be. We want to get your input. We want to hear what your issues, concerns, opportunities, things that are those building foundations. And this is what we tell the community, is that we want to get your input before anything else is identified. What's important to you? We have a workshop for business owners. Just the business community has different concerns that the residents may have. And sometimes you have both, if somebody's a resident and a business owner. But the business community may be concerned about things that are impacting, there could be parking restrictions, there could be regulatory issues, there could be signage, or things that are impacting the business community that a resident may not be thinking of, but it's no less important to the planning process. The business community is the economic engine. And we need to hear from them what those issues are, what types of things need to be addressed, especially as we start drilling down into sub-areas and commercial corridors. You know, you might hear from the business community that restrictions for the loading and unloading are preventing me from getting my deliveries on time, and I need to be able to have a better access to get my customers in and out, and those types of things. Key person interviews and focus groups. This is a very important, very wide-reaching section. This is where we really work closely with Added Dimension on getting into the community. There are certain things that we will run on a large scale of bringing these community workshops, and then we will be working with Added Dimension going into the neighborhood organizations and going reaching out into different community groups that sometimes people are not necessarily feeling like they want to be engaged with the bigger citywide initiatives, but they will sit down on a community-wide basis, and they'll sit down with people that are their neighbors and the people they trust,
and the community leaders, and you could get a lot out of those meetings. We did a conference plan for a heavily Hispanic town outside of Chicago. We had asked, you know, has anybody ever engaged the Hispanic community? Because everybody that shows up to the meeting is not. Everybody is largely white English-speaking people. And they said, well, nobody, they don't come to meetings. We said, well, was that by design, or is it that they don't feel invited to meetings? So we said, we're going to run a meeting in English, the next night we'll run it in Spanish. And this is this is something we did after our scope was adopted. So to give you some idea of the types of things that can develop as you go through this and the flexibility that we maintain. First night we had a meeting, nobody showed up. The second night, publicized it, community publicized it, two people showed up. We asked a woman that was there, why do you think that is? And she said that it's because that the people of the Hispanic community, some of them aren't literate enough to participate, nor do they feel comfortable in the public meeting. We asked, is there somebody that can help get the word out? They said, if you go to this, there's one church that held a meeting, mass in Spanish every Sunday. And that's where everybody went to. We went to the pastor of that church. He reached out to the community. We held the meeting at the church. We had a huge turnout to that meeting, but it was because that was their point of contact. That was the person that they trusted, that they felt if he said it was okay, then it was okay. It was no different. The meeting was no different than if we had run it at City Hall. But we ran it there. We reached out to them. We got the buy-in. And the leaders from the Hispanic community had said, this is the first time anybody's ever asked us to participate. And they sincerely appreciated that effort.
Would you share which community that is?
It's Carpentersville, Illinois.
Sure.
And we actually got the American Planning Association gave us an award for outreach for that process because of it was something that wasn't scoped. But it brought into
which is a little farther west than Chicago.
I
would have thought it would have been an inner ring suburb. That's interesting.
It's well, no, it's a western suburb. So it is. It's yeah. So you're familiar with the Chicago area.
Yeah.
So Carpentersville was the community, and we've done that. We did that in Highwood, Illinois, too, which is up further north. So we started to incorporate that into other projects. The do-it-yourself workshop. This is building off of that same thing. We create these kits. Yeah, everybody sees it at McDonald's at 7 a.m. There's all the retired guys that are solving the world's problems have drinking coffee. And there's some very educated people in these groups that have some great ideas. And it could also be, it could be another neighborhood group. But we'll create the workshop kits, put the little pencils in there and the instructions on how to do it, pass them out, we'll collect them. Marianne and her group can facilitate this. We can facilitate this as part of the collective idea and give the results back of what the workshop results were from those types of initiatives. It's just another way of getting the community, different organizations involved. Don't know who those people might be at this point, but we'll identify them as we go through the process. Interactive project website. We develop and host the project website in-house, so we have it on our own server. So we can provide the updates. We're not at the mercy of a developer to do that. On the website are key person questionnaires for residents, for business owners. All the outreach summaries, all the documents as they get prepared will be posted on that website. It's a way of ensuring transparency of the process. We use social networking, Facebook page, RSS feeds, Twitter. It's just to get, again, making sure that the announcements get out there for people that would rather participate that way. SMAP, social mapping application, it's an online issues mapping tool that we've developed. It's a proprietary tool. It's a Google-based map, so it's really easy to use. But you can go on, you can leave icons for, this is a development site, this is a key community asset, this is a problematic intersection. This site, I think this road needs to be wide. People can create their own maps. They can create as many maps as you want to. It's, you know, you create an online ID. You don't have to identify this is, you know, Ray's map. But it could be just a list of the maps. Then people can go on and see what other people have done. Then we aggregate all those data points, identify where some of the key issues have been identified or where some of the opportunities have been identified. It's people really enjoy using it. And because it's so interactive and people can see what other people are doing, it's a real fun tool. And we've started to use that. Even in some cities have started to roll it out, even outside of the comprehensive plan process, just as a community engagement tool. Online community questionnaires for residents and business owners, as I said, that's on the website. We created an online community character assessment survey, and it's kind of a visual preference so that as things develop, you know, wherever the location, it's consistent with what people have identified for what they want to see in the community. And that's particularly important when we start doing the sub-areas of what people will look, feel, and the character of those locations. All the outreach will be collectively summarized, so you won't be getting a separate report from Marianne or a separate report from us. We will aggregate the summaries, and you'll see what people have said, what people have commented on, or what's been important. And then it'll also be a way of comparing what this group said versus that group versus the community versus the business. There'll be some common threads between them, but there'll also be some unique issues that are identified from each group and organization. Overall outreach summary then, you'll have all the individual outreach based on where those locations were, or what those groups were, and the dates. And then an overall outreach summary that kind of categorizes and aggregates all the summary. We do an existing conditions analysis that goes through, and this is where we start getting into the plan. And this will be being simultaneously done with the outreach. We'll review all the past city studies, plans, reports, zoning development controls, identifying what types of things might need to be addressed from a zoning or regulatory standpoint, making sure that the regulations are consistent with the comprehensive plan. Demographics and retail market overview, what's the market potential, what are the physical capacities to support the market potential. Existing land use and development, what are those starting points, where are we going, and where are we starting from. Growth areas, whether it's infill or areas that are prone to development or have opportunities for development or can be catalysts for other things. Community facilities and infrastructure, what types of things need to be addressed from that standpoint, and that's looking at everything from police, fire, schools, parks, recreation, infrastructure, utilities, stormwater management, transportation and mobility, looking at, you know, everything from transit to the roads to how do people get around by non-vehicular methods, you know, emphasizing and recognizing that the bike plan is recent and is a very important part of the future of the community, is integrated into the planning process. Environmental features and open space, that's looking at park space and those public gathering spaces and those environmental features that you want to maintain and ensure that there's not an impact on stormwater management and that people have access to parks and quality of life issues. And then we do an existing conditions analysis and presentation that comes back to the, say, hey, did we hit everything? Have we met? Is there anything we need to enhance or hit on? But this is our starting point then for creating the plan.
Sir, could I ask, what is that time? I can't see the calendar. You're finishing that about when?
That would be, so that's about 6 months into the existing conditions. So if you look at, here's month 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's about six months into the planning process.
Yeah, I had a quick question. You said the existing plan analysis comes back to whom?
To the committee. We to staff,
right,
and then the committee, we run it past the committee.
Good.
So before we present that publicly, right, we make sure that we've hit on everything.
I have questions. I'm looking at the outreach, and I see that you have developed a lot online in our community. It's a large segment of people who are not online, and if you stood on your head, would not be online. So I'm hoping we're making provision to provide the same exciting material.
Yes, and it's a good question. And that's why things like the community workshop, the business workshop, the key person interviews, focus groups, discussions, the do-it-yourself kit, those are all part of this traditional outreach, that face-to-face.
Do we have a tendency to go for the important persons?
I'm sorry?
Do we have a tendency to go for the important persons or to identify the stakeholders, and we miss a whole segment of the community? And I think it's important to get a buy-in from those other people.
Absolutely. And that's actually exactly why Added Dimension is on our team. And this is, we collectively will be going out, and I had mentioned we'll be going out to the neighborhood organizations, the faith-based organizations, the school, the people that you want to make sure. We talk about engaging the high school students. talk about engaging, you know, people with senior organizations, people that, and that's face-to-face interface. That's not expecting them to go online. Even though high school students, you know, I have a 16-year-old who would much rather use an app to respond to a question than sit across the table. But at the same time, you get them engaged in a process, and they'll get excited about it. That is the future.
May I add to, in response to your question, Paul, as part of our 6-9 months of conversation, the principle that we established from the beginning is we wanted substantial community engagement from every facet of the community that we could identify in the means with which that worked best for them. And so we heard a presentation by Halcyon Levine, we said we want additional outreach, more so than what you proposed. And so we had heard a communications proposal from Added Dimension, and we asked that the firms agree to work together. So we added on, we really bundled two firms that had never met before, to say we'd like you to work together because we think between the depth of planning expertise and the depth of community outreach locally, that together they would add up to the combined was stronger than the individual. So,
thank you. Mm-hmm. Could I, because I had some questions on that too. I echo Paulette that I think the stakeholder diversity has to be in age, race, economics, time in the community. We need some new people as well as old. And I guess one of the concerns I had reading, I'm not sure which one, was perhaps not a full understanding of our community. For instance, you said talk to the kids at U City High School. Lots of our kids don't go to our high school, so we have to build that in.
Yeah.
There was talk about separating out the seniors, and everything I've read said you don't want to separate out seniors. They should be brought in together. There was another mention of bringing Phan Phan University, and Phan Phan has no relevance to this community. So I would just suggest to the committee that we make sure that you really understand this community.
It's a good point. And the things that you're pointing out were things that were just initial responses to the RFP when it was first written. So it was bringing things out there that here's examples of how the outreach could occur. And, you know, and certainly Marianne's in-depth experience and in feet on the ground here is invaluable. As far as the seniors go, when we talk about engaging the seniors separately, we're talking about going to some... Absolutely, they're invited. Everybody's invited to every meeting. But some organizations, they don't have the ability to come out. So if we don't have the presence at a meeting, we will go to a senior center. We'll go to a senior lunch. We'll go to whatever it takes to be the speaker at a luncheon. And somebody, even with engaging the business community, people have busy lives. They don't. You can run that business meeting in the morning, and we usually do it. We try to do it like at 8 a.m. and get them out of here by 9 so they can get on with their day. But even then, people are busy. There's other things going on. We've done speeches at the Rotary and presentations at Rotary. So all these things and some of the things that you called out are things that were scoped, but to emphasize the flexibility in our, as, you know, I use that Carpentersville example as how we will approach this. If you need something, if there's a group that comes out and says, we would like you to be at our meeting at 6 o'clock Wednesday night, and we have 50 people coming and they won't be at any other meeting, we'll go to that meeting and address their issues.
Could I mention that we now have a commission on youth issues and a commission on seniors? Those are just being formed now, but they may be helpful, Marianne, mm-hmm. as you do the outreach. And then one other question, if I could. The website, do we own that afterwards in case we want to keep that going after the whole process is done?
Well, what we do is we link the website to the city's homepage. So it's a, we don't have a separate URL for people to go to for a website, and there's a reason for that. Is you don't want somebody to hijack that URL and then have University City Comp Plan and then change it to compplan.org. And now there's people get confused, and it may be an adversarial group that does that. So we purposely have it linked to the city's homepage. So certainly we can keep things up and active afterwards. These questionnaires, the mapping tool, all that can continue to run for the city after the planning process is over.
Thank you.
maybe for you and also for the city, and that is there any relationship here between these fine people and Brighton?
Yes, we do envision enfolding Brighton into the mix. There isn't one now, but we will discuss their involvement.
Okay, so we're at infancy, but this is a work in progress with Brighton?
Correct.
Okay.
So it's important to recognize that through all this, we're forming a comprehensive plan at the same time. So the outreach is an important part of the community engagement, but also the creation of the comprehensive plan, which gets to where I talk about the existing conditions analysis and all the things that go into the plan. When that's all done, we do the community visioning and workshop, charrette, and create goals and objectives. And this is another in-person traditional outreach. Talk about using a mapping tool, the electronic mapping tool. This is one where we put maps on tables and people sit around tables and then mark them up. And here's where I'd like to see a new road go through. Here's where I think we need a park. Here's some things that I think need to be maintained or improved. People mark up maps. We break people up into individual groups. Everybody comes in and sits with their neighbors or their friends, but then I always have them count off by five or six, depending on how many people come into the meeting. And then that splits them up, and they end up sitting at a table with people they might not otherwise have sat. So that's a little heads up for you when you go into the meeting, try to, if there's somebody you want to sit with, count the number of people in the room and figure out what your number is. But then we have a scribe for the table, and then we have somebody take notes, and then somebody's a spokesperson, and everybody gets up and presents their plan and their vision, and it's fun. We have to cut people off and say, okay, we got 5 more minutes, and you know, it's a real engaging way, and people then, a lot of those people that might not have come to an earlier meeting, they want to see the process. We post the results from that charrette. We post the maps. We take pictures of them. We scan them of what everybody's done. Again, making sure transparency prevails through the process. Preliminary sub-area plans. We talk about doing two sub-areas.
This sounds wonderful. But what about for the people who don't have access to a computer, who can't get your website? How would they be able to do that follow-up?
We can print hard copies of everything and have them available here at City Hall so anybody can come pick up a copy. Anything that gets posted online will be available in hard copies.
We might talk more about that, not just here, but is there some way people can say, I'd like access, my people don't have access to network, community network. Can we
use the library?
Post someplace else? Like the library?
We've done that.
A synagogue or church someplace?
Yeah. Right. And so, you know, several communities they've had in the reference section of the library is the hard copies of the draft documents. Okay. People can come in and take a look at them.
Good.
So we always make sure that those are available. Sub-areas would be, it could be Olive, it could be the Del Mar Loop, it could be any neighborhood, it could be just, we talk about doing sub-areas, those areas that we drill down a little bit more on what people want to see, and those can be identified as we, you know, even after the process begins. Community-wide plans and policies, this is all the things that go into a comprehensive plan, the land use and development, neighborhood, housing, commercial, industrial framework plans, transportation, mobility, parking, open space, community facility, all those things that were part of the existing conditions but now are part of the future plan of the new comprehensive plan. Implementation and economic development strategy, that's, you know, it's all good to get a new plan or in an updated plan, but what do you do now? So we don't walk out the door and say, good luck with it. We have an implementation and economic development strategy that spells out roles, responsibilities, funding sources. If this happens, here's what's next, prioritization of different things. We will come back, and we've done this in several communities. Most recently, we did it in Brownsburg, Indiana. We held a meeting with all the boards and commissions and said, here's how to use the comprehensive plan. Here's how you... your commission should use it. Here's how your commission should use it. Here's the different things that could come up. We created hypothetical scenarios and then ran them through how each commission might want to use it. Because, you know, 5 years from now, there's going to be new people on commissions and boards that aren't here today that weren't part of this process. We make sure that we spell that out. You have the draft comprehensive plan document. Again, then staff review, then we bring it to the committee. Again, committee reviews the plan, get the feedback before any of this goes public then. We have another review of the draft. We create revisions. We have a community public forum for presenting the plan. Then we had the final public hearing for the plan, and then finally final plan adoption. Whatever that time frame is, we'll work, you know, we'll remain flexible in working with your schedule. So all this, there's many opportunities for input. Yes?
We just saw this with the plan, which we were working with. So the way that it works is it comes from the plan commission to the council, and it may go back to the plan commission with requests for revision. And I want to make sure that we're looking at that revision being built into this.
Oh, for sure. You know, that's exactly, that's why you get a chance, and why, even after the public forum, if the public has some reaction to things, and there's things
well,
that we
I mean,
need to...
we would come after the public hearing. It would come to the council after the public hearing.
Sure, right. Yeah, so the public hearing...
Yeah, we wouldn't want to have to pay more money to amend that plan if we...
Oh, no. The once it's this is the final... So what you're adopting is what you said. This is the final plan that we want to adopt. So... There's a the final adoption is reflecting all the input, whether it's from the council or from any, so you get a final say on what that what you're adopting. So there isn't any after coming back and refining anything that you know charges afterwards. The final plan that's adopted is reflecting what your expectations are.
So the public hearing here is actually something we usually do before the council considers adopting the plan.
Yeah, it's a requirement of holding a public hearing for...
Yeah, so as with our last 2005 plan, it went back to the plan commission with a fairly substantive list of changes to be made to the comprehensive city plan. And I have no idea whether that would happen this time or not, but I want to make sure that we don't have to pay extra because we do that.
No.
Right, right. Just, you know, as... Dan indicated there's some flexibility right here. While we tried to outline each and every step, there is an understanding that this could be an iterative process, and it is understood in the scope of work.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You will never hear us. You'll never hear us say, "Sorry, that was, you know, we've exhausted all our meetings." I mean, even just being here tonight, we understand we haven't, we were not under contract yet, but we wanted to make sure that we came out to talk to you and make sure we address your issues. And also just to demonstrate our excitement and enthusiasm in working with the city on this.
There's, this sounds terrific. There's one piece that we talked about on the Comprehensive Planning Committee that I wanted to talk to you about, and that is our vision had been this wonderful kind of outreach you've got, that we would have these a variety of input opportunities, that as a result of that work, that themes would arise. That it might well be a whole range of ideas around neighborhood revitalization. There might be one about development. There might be a green aggregate of ideas. And that we would create work groups of citizens of UCity based on interest. Mm-hmm. And that they, coupled with the consultant, would then work through those ideas and come up with proposals consistent with what needs to happen for a comprehensive plan, and that would be then the final stuff that would go into a draft comprehensive plan. So I guess my question is that something that works with you, for you, if we think about those work groups that work on themes that have been identified through the outreach process?
Sure, and that's kind of getting to the kind of that vision, not sure where it is, but it's in the, that vision, it's creating that vision and the goals and objectives. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. In our scheme, will come after the big outreach process that we're talking about.
Yeah, we are doing this in Oak Park, Illinois. And Oak Park reminds me a lot of the University of the City. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with Oak Park. A very engaged community, very diverse community, and they created some working groups. It did a similar thing to what you're talking about. And last Thursday night, we sat down, was our third iteration with sitting down with the groups and going through, you know, what their goals and objectives for. There was an economic development group. There was an intergovernmental relations group. There was a land use development. There were different groups that had worked. They met together, and they kind of came up with their kind of goals and objectives. But we can integrate that either into that this piece, we're integrated into the focus groups, but we made sure, as Andrea said, we're flexible. What we've outlined here isn't rigid, okay. But it's, you have to have some framework to work with, and that's what we're trying to do.
Great. That's a good answer.
Right, and just to that point, you know, the draft sub-area plans, the community-wide plans and policies, that we would envision that would also be defined by the focus groups. We're not necessarily tied to what's put down on this on paper here. You know, these are kind of typical of a plan, and I would expect many of these elements to be included, but not to the exclusion of others that you've brought up.
Could I remind everyone to use your mics?
No.
Mary Ann, do you want to talk a little bit about your piece of the proposal?
Sure.
Just at a high level?
Sure. In terms of community engagement, my approach is to be more active, to more grassroots level, to get people who may not normally be engaged in the process to provide them a voice at the table. So if that means me going to meet with them face-to-face, one-to-one, or on their turf, that's something that I will do throughout this process. Because I feel like, you know, regardless of your age, regardless of, you know, your ethnic group, income levels, you still have a voice in this community. And we want to make sure that we capture that in the process. So that's why with Dan and I were talking about traditional and some non-traditional outreach and engagement methods to get people excited about this process, excited about establishing the vision for their community as you move forward. So one of the things, you know, in my approach and scope, I talk about working with U City High School. That was just a particular example, knowing that many communities, people go from all, you know, they go to public school, they go to private school, but we might end up doing a focus group. And like you said, you have now this commission on youth and senior services. Maybe that is the group that's kind of like our catalyst to move us out into other different arenas to bring their voice to the table. So often we expect, and what I've seen in some of the work that I've done, we say young people to be responsible citizens, but we never give them an opportunity to actually become engaged. And so through this process, I'm hoping to get them engaged and connected into their community, because they view the community different than we do as adults. You know, for many of them, they might be idealistic about some things that could happen. And they have great ideas and great ways to, you know, make change. And so I want to be able to capture that. And then in terms of seniors, I know mobility is a challenge for some seniors. Some seniors will be more active, but they may not be able to, you know, to get around. That's why I said, you know, going to where they are. So in my approach to community engagement, I'm very flexible in terms of meeting people where they are, you know, on their turf, because it's about building trust within the community. Just like Dan indicated that in the Chicago area in Carpentersville, you know, when they did the outreach to the Hispanic community, it was one particular, you know, individual in that community that they trusted, and that allowed them to begin to have a voice in that community. I want to seek out that within your community as well, from talking to your religious community, as well as, you know, your senior community, your youth, your business community, all those different aspects to make your community unique and different. I mean, U City is a very unique city. It has a lot of things going on. You have institutions of higher learning here. You have a lot of new exciting developments that's coming, you know, in the area. And we definitely want to be able to capitalize on, you know, a lot of that energy that's happening here in this community and get people actively engaged in the process.
Got one quick question.
Use your mic.
Oh, sorry. Never been accused of having a soft voice. I don't want to use the World Cup as an example, but a lot of times when Brazil is going to have the World Cup, they plan for the World Cup, but the things they build and establish are intended to have much longer value. Same thing, I'm wondering, can we do the same thing with the Senior Commission or with the Student Commission in thinking about getting them involved in this process? do you have experience in thinking also about how that process of involving them can have consequences beyond just the plan, where we end up with more value long-term in UCity?
Well, maybe what ends up happening by getting them involved in a process where it has a more longer term is they may be able to identify particular initiatives or projects that they can take on themselves mm-hmm. and take ownership and then begin to, you know, implement themselves. And so that's what I'm hoping they will be able to do in this process, is to be able to identify those little, what I call little nuggets, mm-hmm. where they begin to say, okay, this is what we want to do. And then when you guys do this update, you know, again, in the future, they'll already have already established some type of process, a protocol for engagement, and they will be able to continue to be active participants as you begin to do updates to your plan.
So it's possible or conceivable that the comprehensive plan, the ultimate plan, could even include new processes for communication and community engagement, not just land use planning and streets and parks, but actually more intangible aspects that make a community vibrant.
How we come
it's
together.
Possible that could be part of the plan.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. And that can even be addressed as a separate chapter in the plan of what future engagement or part of the implementation piece. Okay.
Right. Well, actually, Ben said it much better than I, but that was my angle with the website, just to make sure we still had access to it. So there might be ways this process can continue even after the formal process is finished.
For sure.
Could I ask how detailed, when you talk about, say, the demographic and market studies, how detailed are you talking about?
When we look at, you know, we'll pull the census data. We use Esri Business Analyst as our basis. And Esri is a nationally recognized demographer provider of demographic data. And so we'll look at all the data projections going out, as well as the historical trends for all levels of demographics and socioeconomic data. But then we'll also look at, from a retail standpoint, we'll define market areas by drive time or by geography, and then look at what the supply and demand is and the leakage within those areas, and then identify what some of the opportunities are. And we create a matrix of identifying retail or restaurant type categories and what the developer or tenant expectations are, requirements, whether it's site size, dollars per square foot, parking requirements, those type of things. And so it's another tool that's available for the city to use as you go out in the future and say, we have a site that's available, what type of retail or use might we be expecting, or can we target or not target, or to know what the limitations are as well. So you can sometimes people get excited and say, we want this type of user here, but the reality is, based on site requirements and access and traffic counts and number of criteria, it might not work in that location, but it might work in another location. So that is the depth of the retail analysis, so that when we are planning, when we're talking especially about commercial areas, you're not planning for something that's hypothetical, your planning is based in reality.
And that's our data that we can then share with the Loop people.
Oh, for sure.
Or the chamber or whatever.
Okay. We have people that have taken the data that we have pulled together for comprehensive plans and taken it to the ICSC, the International Council of Shopping Center Conventions, and marketed their community based on the data that we've pulled together for the comprehensive plan.
Right. And just to add to that, I think a number of benefits to the approach that's proposed by HLA, as well as added dimensions, is that a number of products will be developed through the process that will be useful in implementation. So the recommendations won't only be recommendations for additional level of study. There'll be actual tangibles that we can use when we do our planning and policy guide and evaluation and economic analysis. So.
Question here. Obviously, Marianne, you let us know that you're in field sales here, but can you give us both of you an idea of what the team looks like and kind of define the positions each of the team members, what we're kind of looking at here?
From the collectively?
Yes. Teams?
Well, Policy Living Associates, we're an urban planning firm and a market and economic analysis firm based in Chicago. this is what we, planning and outreach is what we do. But at the community level and drilling down, that's what Marianne and her group does, is going out into the communities and the neighborhood organizations. So we will do, we will be responsible, we will be leading the project. And you know, you'll see me at the meetings, you'll see John Halseal, and Devin Levine. We're the three principals of the firm. And one of us will be at every meeting, you'll see us. And we have a great staff, but we don't hand things off to junior staff. So we oversee, we have people to do things for us, but you'll get us at the meetings in our direction. Working closely with Marianne and her group on all the outreach. And as I said, collectively the outreach then is summarized. You know, we'll sit down and talk together about the summaries and what we found at an outreach that we might have been at. There'll be some that we're both at, and then there'll be things that Marianne and her group are at. So the collaboration will be there ongoing in person and over the phone and just collectively. We also have A5, which is has a office in St. Louis. Then they'll be doing the branding and some of the posters and some of the things that you see in the branding process. But we'll be the point of contact for responsible for the project oversight. Marianne will be responsible for all that in-depth outreach. But as far as anybody sees it, it's seamless. It's one team working together.
And, if I may add to that, and just to be clear, HLA will be engaged. Their contract will be presented to you all for authorization. We separately are engaging with Added Dimension. And so they, although they will collaborate, they will both report directly to us. Added Dimension will not be a sub consultant to HLA. And we anticipate, we will present the contract for Added Dimensions to you all, but in terms of the dollar amount, it does not require your approval, but we will present that to you all so that you can see how the two relate to each other. And again, to echo what Dan said, they are going to be working together, and it will be a seamless collaboration.
In my firm, Added Dimension, it's a public involvement community engagement firm. Been in St. Louis for 8 years. We're based in St. Charles. That's where our offices are. But we do work throughout the St. Louis metropolitan region. We've worked on a variety of projects throughout the region, both in Missouri as well as in Illinois. And like Dan indicated, we will be working closer, you know, close together throughout this entire process. There will be some outreach activities that my team will facilitate, and then there will be activities that we both will be together facilitating and being engaged and connected in. So my team, there's four of us at my team at Added Dimension, so it's a small office.
And will we have you in terms of who will staff this?
You will see me, and you will also see what I call my deputy project manager, and it's one of his name is Robert Ennis. You will see him, and then you will also see Crystal McIntosh from my office, as well as Felicia Miller-Harris.
And Marianne, would you mind giving us just an idea of some of the clients that you've done public engagement with that we might be familiar with?
Okay. My current client is the Illinois Department of Transportation. I'm working on the new Mississippi River Bridge project that is now named the Stan Musial Veterans Memorial Bridge Project. It's a project that's been going on for 4 years, and I'm so used to calling it the new Mississippi River Bridge Project. Now that it has a name, the bridge has a name, I always end up catching myself with that. I've been working on that project, actually, doing the construction phase for the last 4 years. But prior to that, I worked on the project when it was in the design phase, when we were going through the EIS, trying to get the project ready for submittal in order to get a earmarking in order for us to begin construction activity. So it's been a great project. I also worked on it with the Illinois Department of Transportation on their Waterloo project when they were doing the extension of Illinois Route 3 in the Waterloo area. So I've also worked on that project. I was also a part of the management team on the Loop Trolley project working, doing community engagement on that particular project for the year. I've also worked on I-64. I've worked on, with MoDOT, actually worked on a statewide initiative with the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, where they were, it was called Energize Missouri, where they were working to educate residents throughout the state about how they can become more energy efficient and more things, that, simple things that they can do, like changing their light bulbs, cutting lights off, things that they can do to become more energy efficient. So those are some of the clients that I've had.
Thank you. Thank you for that. We have about 10 more minutes. Are there additional questions? If not, I would like to thank our guests, for you for coming from out of town, Dan, and you from coming across that bridge.
Hey, it's just water.
Thank you.
And if I may, obviously we're all excited about the new plan and the planning process. We think we've assembled a team who shares our excitement and is really strong in both community engagement and technical planning experience. And I too want to thank them both for coming to this meeting, even though they're not engaged. In terms of next steps, we hope to bring the contract for HLA before you all January 13th and get them both under contract and engaged so we can start the process in full in February. So thank you all.
And I just want to reiterate our enthusiasm of working with the community and appreciate everybody coming here together tonight. So if anybody has any questions for us, please don't hesitate to reach out to us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so I like shiny toys.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you guys.